The following is the first of hopefully many installments of stories based on entries from the Encyclopedia of Arkansas, a project of the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies at the Central Arkansas Library System in Little Rock. We start with gold prospecting in the Ozarks. Ozarks' at-largest Jacqueline Froelich takes us up to a parcel of land in Rogers, the site of an early 20th century gold mine.
We're standing in the drizzly rain on the periphery of Rogers Heritage High School, but once upon a time, back when this place was farmland, more than a century ago, a man named William Cruz believed he had struck gold, enough gold to save the world, right here on this spot.
Well, I think a lot of people at the time thought he was a bit of a whack job because he believed there was gold because he'd had a vision that there was gold.
Rogers Historical Museum Director Gabe Bland has chronicled gold prospector William Cruz and talks in special exhibitions at her museum.
He actually lived in Minneapolis for most of his life. His connection with Rogers was that his parents had moved down here and they bought a farm. So he would come down here and visit. And he had sisters who were down here who'd married some of the local businessmen. So that's how he got to be connected with Rogers. And that's what his vision was about an apple tree on his father's farm that had gold underneath it.
And he fully expected to strike the proverbial mother lode. Gabe Bland pulls out a newspaper Cruz published about his venture with the masthead Sunshine and Truth, wherein Cruz details his mining parameters.
And his vision was that the shaft should be 16 feet square to a depth of 7 feet. And the second 7 feet was the beginning of the gold-bearing dirt, and then they were to go down 7 feet more, and so they followed those instructions. So it was a fairly large area down, it sounds like, about 14 feet he was going. And he was digging up dirt and rock, which he, you know, they sacked up and then put on the trip to the railroad car up to St. Louis.
Where the ore was assayed, more about that in a minute, the Cruz gold mine required a lot of hands, so William advertised for help.
And he actually runs an ad in the local newspaper, wanted at Cruz Gold Mine, Wednesday, October 18th. Ladies to prepare and serve free lunch to laborers and musicians, 10. 40 men to drive teams, load and unload wagons and scrapers, 10 teams for the wagons and scrapers. Paying $2 a day for 6 hours of work for the men. For a man and a team, $4 per day, 6 hours work, and $1 for the ladies to prepare and serve lunch. And so it was a grand opening. And what they did, apparently, that day, October 18th, 1905, the Rogers Cornet Band led a procession from downtown out to the gold mine. And they marched around the field, and then they finally settled in at work at the hole where he said the gold was to be located and really started digging in earnest. And so he was back and forth over the years, continuing to work on and off on the gold mine. Eventually built some buildings out there, but every time he sent ore up to St. Louis on the Frisco Railroad, it ended up being dumped because the professional assayers up there said if there's any gold in here, it's not enough that it would be productive, be profitable. And he kept arguing, no, I know better than you. I've assayed it myself, and I know it's really good stuff. So that was the problem for him. He couldn't get anybody to accept that it really was enough gold there to make it profitable.
Historically, gold's been mined in Bulgaria, India, South Africa, Spain, and Australia. In the United States, claims occurred on Alaska, Colorado, and the California Yukons. 19th century speculators believed veins of gold glittered under the Ozarks Plateau due to proximity of productive lead and zinc mining.
And back in the 1880s, they were looking for everything. And in the late summer of 1887, the local newspaper said that every man at a picnic at War Eagle had in his pocket a rock which he claimed contained some rare and valuable metal. And so there was a big, you know, enthusiasm in the 1880s, and then it kind of faded away. And then in 1899, the Prairie Creek Mining Company was looking for coal out east of Rogers. And the Rogers Mining Company was drilling for lead and zinc on the prairie west of Rogers. Down in Springdale, they had a mining company leasing land around the fairgrounds. So it was something that would sort of ebb and flow throughout this entire time. And then, of course, we get in the 1920s. Then in this area, they start drilling for oil everywhere and convinced there was a big operation out at Centerton. And they kept saying, oh, we're almost there, we're almost there. But they never really struck anything. And what encouraged them there was that a lot of people out in the western part of the county particularly have a certain amount of natural gas in their on their property. It'll show up in their water wells when they drill. And there used to be a few folks that actually were able to heat their chicken houses with natural gas, you know, from their property for a short period of time. So, if there's gas, there's got to be oil.
So whatever happened to gold visionary William Crews?
Well, I mean, he really stays up in Minneapolis in business here. And back and forth, 1912, he came and erected a 100-foot-tall framework for a crude smelter. So he was going to try to smelt the ore himself. But I don't think there was much that ever came of that. And then 1925, he actually dies at the age of 65. And the newspaper here reported he was still working at the mine. There was a building there that had been destroyed the summer before by a windstorm, but he'd rebuilt it on a smaller scale. But, of course, his death was the end of the digging there.
And what are the odds that William Crews ran into Coin Harvey, who built the utopian resort of Montanay, now submerged under Beaver Lake, just south of here?
Well, I mean, they had to have known one another, Crews and Harvey. They're around at the same time, you know. I'm sure they ran into one another on the streets of Rogers, so it must have been an interesting conversation.
Bentonville native and UA graduate Robert Myers is a city planner for Urbana, Illinois, and serves as president of the Illinois Association of Historic Preservation Commissions. He's working on a manuscript about treasure hunting on the Ozarks, so he's been researching individuals such as William Crews for his book. He says William Crews was a man of his era.
Spiritualism and the supernatural and the occult really ruled the day. And it wasn't like it was in the background. I mean, it was like in the forefront of people's lives. And it was for the majority of people in the country, the majority of households, that was the way it was. You know, maybe they went to church on Sunday. But in addition to that, they had this whole other world of supernaturalism in the occult. Magic, practical, everyday magic, you might call it, that helped guide them on their day-to-day lives. So over time, that has receded, but it's taken a long, long time. And I think it has to do originally with the Enlightenment, Enlightenment ideals of, ration and reason over intuition and belief. But it's taken a long time to move throughout the country and went over people's minds. And you might say there's still a struggle even to this day.
Like for those of us who believe in astrology, for example, and those who, well, don't. But Robert Myers said for centuries, metaphysical means were used to map precious metals.
Until the development of geology as a science, which occurred beginning in the 1700s, but certainly in the early 1800s, that people went about it in a scientific way. But, you know, there were lots and lots of people who continued on with the old ways long after science came along. But I should say also that both treasure hunting and geology and prospecting, or I should say treasure hunting and prospecting, went hand in hand with fraud and deception and organized crime in a way. There were whole leagues of professional scam artists in America in the 1800s and early 1900s who regularly advertised in the newspaper that they would help people for a fee find lost objects, attract love, money, find buried treasure. In fact, in a lot of the big city newspapers, you might find an entire page of classified ads for clairvoyance, mediums, and mystics. And a lot of the ads would say that they would help people find buried treasure.
But William Crews, a successful businessman, was not such a scoundrel. He never sold stock in his venture. And if he had struck gold, he planned to share the wealth with those less fortunate. The Cruz family farm and gold mining site was eventually sold to make way for a new Rogers Public High School in 1922. So what about prospecting for artifacts from William Cruz's prospecting? 7 years ago, the historic site was under excavation, construction for the new Heritage High School. The architectural firm Height Jackson Associates was in charge of the project, so we queried them. In an email for this story, President Brian Jackson said yes, he'd heard about the gold mining, but no, his crews never did come across any mine shafts, shovels, or ore. That's hard to say. But his crews did excavate what turned out to be the farm's original trash pit filled with old glass jars. Those are fun. And at the end of his note, Brian Jackson apologized for not having any exciting news to share about the Cruz gold mine site. Status quo, right? Gold, by the way, surging in the 2013 marketplace, valued at $1,454 an ounce. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
You can find out more about the Cruz Gold Mine in the Encyclopedia of Arkansas History and Culture, a free authoritative source of information about the rich history, geography, and culture of Arkansas. The site contains 3,200 entries, more than 4,200 pieces of media available at encyclopediaofarkansas.net.